Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of To the Regiment, the Early Doors podcast. With me, Ben Steele, and him.
Phil Mealy, that's me.
I tried to change it up a bit today.
No, you did very well there.
I thought
I was on the one show.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't look like Alex Jones.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure with a bit more hair and a bit of a wig, bit of makeup. But at the weekends, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I'm off to Bridlington tonight. So what happens on the seaside stays in the seaside, I guess.
Yeah. To see. Pulp, is it?
Yeah. The first night of, is it a reunion? I don't know what it is.
The first night of the first reunion this year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that'll be good. It'll be good. Yeah. And how was the football last night?
Oh, great. More like it. I left ruthless. At 4-0. So, because when it got 4-0, I was fairly certain then that we've got Champions League football next year. So the only downside was Anthony getting injured for the FA Cup final.
Oh, of course, yeah.
He's probably going to be out for that. Garnacho came on, though, and just mixed it up like he does.
I like him.
Oh, he's a great player. I mean, keeps telling him he's an impact player, but if that's the case, I'd put him on after 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And maybe impact 85. Because, he's really great. Yeah.
So young, isn't he? Young.
Yeah, he's only 18.
Oh, yeah.
He'll so he's got loads of time yet. But he's really, it's that thing that they were saying about the young. He's sort of fearless and he just has, just great. He's really, you know, it's that thing where he runs at defences and they just, it's intimidating, you know. Not enough players do it. So, he's great.
I wonder if he'll give that Diallo, who's been on loan at Sunderland, a little run out on Sunday.
Maybe,
because even though I'm black and white, my brother-in-law is Sunderland. And I watched an odd game with him and he's a tidy player.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what he does. I mean, they need to keep him ticking over. And I see Guardiola's playing all the kids now, isn't he, at the moment?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Sometimes you think, well, I mean, they drew, didn't they, against Brighton City? So,
yeah.
I'm hoping that it's sort of, you know, they start to question their own abilities. You know, it's a long shot, but you never know. We'll see.
You, You don't. You never know these days.
Yeah, but they are awesome. I mean, God, you know, they're unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate to say it, but you can't help but watch the football and think, wow, that's just great. You know, it's great stuff this boy.
Yeah. Great. Well, speaking of great stuff, what a segue.
Hey, episode two
of season one. See, keep saying season. That's so American. Series one. I'm ingrained in now with Netflix and stuff.
See, that's it.
Yeah. Series one.
Series one.
Episode two. So this episode, you can correct me on this. If I'm right in thinking, episode two of any show kind of has to reestablish the characters in the first 5 minutes to remind you who they are. And
I
don't know if that's true or not, but I heard it somewhere. But if it is true, you do a good job, because in 4:33, I counted it. I was that sad. every character has been in, more or less.
And really?
Re-established. Like Ken's in the toilets again. He's singing again. Tommy is checking his watch again. But Ken's right. It was 29.
Oh, right, yeah.
So he doesn't have to open. And I wonder, I can't remember. Was it the law you couldn't open before 5:30?
I think, when back in the day, I don't know if it was, it was the law, wasn't it, really? Because before we had 24-hour, do you remember, it all came in, they had this 24-hour drinking and this all-day drinking. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure that it was just everybody did it. You just last orders was at 3:00, wasn't it? And then they opened back up at 5:30, I can't remember now. 7 on a Sunday, I think it was, or maybe it's 6:30 on a Sunday. I can't remember, it's that long ago.
Yeah. But
because you queue outside. I mean, that's how sad it was. I mean, I've been there on a Sunday night with Craig, stood outside the Three Crowns in Stockport waiting for it to open at it was 7:00, you know, on a Sunday that it opened. Might be wrong, but I think it was.
Maybe. I mean, you and Craig were waiting on this episode as well.
Yeah, we were. So it was nothing new for us. but yeah, it's funny, you know, because it's great, this, because it reminds me of course, of the episodes, but it's like you're saying, oh, everybody's in back in after 4:53 or whatever. But I don't think. I think you just go on instinct. I mean, I'm sure we did, because you just feel like, okay, well, we're back in. I think we got everybody in quicker this time, because there's no need to. It's almost like we introduced everybody almost one by one, if you like, in the episode one.
Everyone gets their moment. Yeah.
So in episode two, it's like, okay, we'll just, you know, we get everybody in, and we're back in. And it's also, again, the beginning of episode two. We don't do a lot of dialogue right at the top end. It's just people shouting outside, you know.
Yeah. someone says top hat. Is that like a localism to the Northwest?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, top hat.
He's right, top hat, meaning twat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, we used to, yeah. I actually not said it for long, so, yeah, but, oh, he's right, top hat, him. Yeah, yeah. So it's like a local sort of. I don't know whether it's a Cockney rhyme or slang. I don't think so, but because maybe it is. I don't know. But we always used it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So it's all that, and it's all that stuff about. I really love the fact that Ken's he's such a wind up merchant, and, you know, and he's just sat there on the sort of. Bench, you know, underneath the window. Mm-hmm. I love that shot, actually. If we're outside kicking up and banging on the window, and he's just sat there, sort of smiling to himself, smirking himself, and looking at his watch,
wiping his brow.
But it's good. I think all that kind of stuff is. I think that's why sometimes commissioners find it difficult to read scripts. Because if you put Ken looks at his watch, he wipes his brow, he doesn't, you know, he makes them wait, you just think, oh, he's all right. But actually, when you see it,
yeah,
I think you get that he's just winding them up. Whereas if you read it on the page, some people just can't, don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
To make the link.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but yeah, they don't kind of, yeah, get the sensibility of it, really. I think that's the thing.
Yeah. And straight away, this time you go to the jukebox, House Martins, overexcited.
Yeah.
Another good choice.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tommy mentions how Charlie Taylor's funeral was shit.
Yeah. Well, it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I don't know what he's expecting, though.
No, yeah. Well, I think, I don't know. He'd find fault in everything, really, Tommy, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
If you're surprised if he said, so, you know, who would say somebody's funeral was shit? Like, you know, oh, it was a great funeral that they had, like, he will have judged it on, you know, in relation to buffets of the past at funerals and, you know, and whether you got a free drink or not and that kind of stuff. So, yeah. You know, there will be some rating thing of deaths in the past in his mind.
Yeah. But, you know, I've been to some good funerals.
Well, no, that's it. I think, Charlie, yeah, you can imagine that, like, you know, perhaps there wasn't many people at Charlie Taylor. Tommy couldn't get many free rounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody to moan to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll have just been, yeah.
Yeah.
Charlie's shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I say good funerals, I mean, well done.
Yeah, I mean,
because they're never good, let's be honest.
No, but I know, no, exactly what you mean. I mean, I spoke to somebody a week or so ago who went to a funeral like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they came up, it was not far from me. And I was saying, I was at a funeral. I said, oh, well, all things considered, it was great,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think, you know, we had some great stories and,
yeah,
you know, all that kind of stuff. That was a horrible thing. I mean, I had a friend who popped his clogs, bless him, during the COVID thing.
Right.
And the biggest regret, and I know if he'd have been looking down going, no, is that we couldn't have a right good piss up and a good old chat and talk about, because Matt, this is my mate who died, that's the one thing that he would have, like, you know, or you got to, he'd have been organising it. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that we all had to, we talked to each other in the car park afterwards, that's the best that we could do. And there was only, how many people were allowed in?
20, maybe?
Was it 20 or 30, Matt? I don't know how many, I can't remember. I know we were all sat apart from each other.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking, really, all that. But I mean, yeah. So, so yeah.
We can see where Tommy's coming from.
We've proper drawn it down to funerals, haven't we? Hey, you're listening to the Early Doors podcast about funerals.
Well, bring it back up. I was going to bring it back up, but
go on. Let's bring it back up quick.
Like, the next scene's when Gene's talking about someone's husband who died at 59 and it's no age, and Mel goes, well, it is. It's 59.
Well, it's
59. Like 10.
Yeah.
And but it actually, that whole bit gets one of the very quotable lines, definitely on the Early Doors clips. The no knowledge of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying, but
yeah,
if you put the words out in order, it doesn't make sense. But it does. It does make sense.
It makes sense, but it does. But it's just an odd term. That's actually again, that's based on a woman we, myself and Craig was good friends with, called Norma. And she said something about, she'd already, and they had no knowledge of him at all. Like, what, you know, it's just, well, they had no knowledge of him. And it's like, it's just a funny way. It's like, they didn't know who we were. You know, if you went, you know, you went to visit somebody in hospital and he said, you know, oh, and we went and for him, they couldn't find his name, or they didn't know, but they had no knowledge of him. whatsoever. Like as though he doesn't exist, or you know, they had no knowledge of him. I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes it's that turn of expression, isn't it? That it's a quirky thing that people say, and it's. Mm-hmm. Those are the things I think are delicious, really, that people say. Think, oh, that's a really, you know, that's an odd turn of phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. For any early doors pedants out there, which I'm sure there is, I'm aware that that line's about the person's brother, not the husband who died. just to get the record straight.
Yeah, no knowledge of him. He went to visit him.
And went to visit him, that's it, yeah. and we get one of the recurring themes, which I'll mention now, but brush over, because I actually have one question about it. So I mentioned about Duffy's wife learning to drive, and then also the bird at work.
Yeah.
What was Duffy's job? Because I just don't think it's ever mentioned.
We are, he sort of, yeah. I always felt like he was a sort of photocopy salesman or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Something where he just, you know, where, I mean, his suit suggests that he's had it for about 5 years. It's one of those shiny suits, isn't it? You know, that reps bought and just wear until it until the arse is that thin that it's worn through. So I always felt like he was one of those, you know, salesmen that sell vending machines, or you know, where they've just, it's almost, you've got to have a rhino skin, haven't you, to just go in and try and sell that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And cold calling, and you know, I could never do anything like that. I mean, I just would, I'd be crying in a corner after an hour.
Yeah.
But Duffy doesn't give you know, he's not, he doesn't, he's water for duck's back with him, isn't it? So he'll just go and try and give it his Charlie Charm bit. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But yeah, I always felt like Duffy was sort of probably doing it for a company car. There'd be an office somewhere where he's sort of going in, being the trying bit of a Lothario, you know, flirting with anybody, anything that moves. Yeah. That so yeah, it was always that Joe was doing was some kind of manual worker.
Yeah.
Working at the, well, I'm an engineer, really. That's what my proper job is. So he was, so Joe was always something like that, and Duffy was more like a sort of salesy guy, but a bit smart. But you know, you can imagine when he's out and you know, how are you? Yeah, are you looking good? You know,
so Christmas parties. Kind of
yeah.
I've met that person. I know that person. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know you just don't want to. Yeah. And have no kind of, it's like the morals of an alley cat, aren't you, really, as well?
doesn't really
mind who, what, you know, as long as you're interested in him, he's like game, you know. But then, of course, you know, but
you also like judgment. Him. You also what? Like him at the same time. You like him at the
Yeah, I mean, he is that. I mean, he's based on two people that, both me and Craig know. And they are, you know, they are very much like that. It's almost like it's like a moth to a flame, really. They can't help themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly.
Married, and they're like, can't help it. They have no kind of, yeah. And then I suppose over the years, the guilt, if there was any in the first place, it's virtually non-existent anymore. You know, it's like, you know, oh, well, it's almost like a way of life.
Which we'll discover more of.
Yeah.
In series two. I said series. But another one of those stories that does the rounds, and it kind of has a thread in for a couple of episodes, is Joe pissing in the wardrobe.
Yeah.
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 Which we all know someone who's done that.
Well, yeah, exactly. And to be honest with you, we had Agatha, when we went to Cologne, you know, it's in Cologne the week. So we had it was an Agatha, you called it a Agatha Christie murder pistory, it was, as opposed to a murder mystery. Because I shared a room with my mate, and he woke up in the morning, and there was a big pool of water near his bed. Initially, he took the rap for it, and I was like, well, you know, we were bladdered the night before, but I would have had to walk past the toilet to his end of the room, because it was like just one big room, to have had a slash in the corner near his wardrobe. Anyway, so in the afternoon, then it became a murder pistory. We were looking at the evidence, like, he's got a weak bladder. He usually drinks bottles. He doesn't drink steins. It was all this coming out. Yeah. And there was like eight of us all, like, you know, it was like judge and jury. Very funny. Yeah, let's face it, almost every bloke, whether they like to admit it or not, has got up in the middle of the night and, you know, don't know, been that bladdered that they've sliced somewhere. Yeah, I think we've all. He's done it to me. I love that man is Jones' line about Eddie. I've often gone out with my clothes smelling of urine.
Yeah.
just dried them and put them back on.
It's how she says urine. It's just
urine.
Yeah, she's and she picked urine as well. Just it's quite charming, even though she's stinking up.
Urine. Yeah. But Eddie's not even nonplus. It's like I love that. I love that thing of, you know, if you were doing a comedy, I know we only do this as a comedy, but as a sitcom, you would expect the person to be, didn't do, or, but it's just kind of, accepted as okay, we've all done it.
And it's quite nice how he must have told Ken in confidence, but Winnie knew, and Janice knew. Joe knew.
Everybody. I mean, again, it's that thing of, it's that recognition thing of, you say, look, you know, we used to say, after a while, there was a guy called Gary, we'd talk about him. You'd tell him anything, and then you'd know that it'd be around the pub or everybody would know about it before. You know, he'd come up to you and say, don't say anything. And you'd be like, well, you're not, what do you mean, don't say anything? You've already said everything. You've told everybody. So it got to the point where I was telling him anything. We say, all right, Kez, I'll tell you this, right, but don't tell more than 50 people.
It comes up.
We've all been there, haven't we, where people just, like, you know, just like, you know, don't say anything, and next thing you know, everybody knows.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like wildfire.
Yeah. It's great. But it's only winning. Yeah, it's everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, and then Winnie has all gold for Mel, which Jean promptly steals. She was given them to have one.
No, she acquires them, doesn't she, Jean?
Yeah,
she's great, because you just sort of I don't mind if I do,
and then has six.
Yeah, and then that's it, basically. Once she's been invited to take a one. She doesn't hear the one. She just says she feels like she's been invited to take, so she does.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's great.
And every time I see that scene, I always go, quite fancy an old girl, because I haven't had one in years. And I never follow it up.
Yeah, see, it's like how you remember the things as well. The nostalgia thing of just see the face you love light up with Terry's on. Got it golden. It's that kind of, I think the thing, those are the things that you just don't find in a sitcom. You wouldn't find that in a sitcom, would you? Talking about normal, like how is abnormal. I mean, the royal family would, but that's it, I think. You know, that those references that people, and there's something about those things, little things like that, that aren't like a laugh, but that go, that connect with people, aren't they? And go, oh yeah, we're on the same wavelength here. I remember that. It just sparks, again, it's that rose tinted spectacles of thinking, oh yeah, simpler times.
Yeah, I think it makes, it's kind of like, if you're like layering jokes, it makes you smile. So when the next joke comes in, you're probably going to laugh a bit more because you've got that residual smile from the previous one. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's a warmth, isn't it? It's a connection because it's like, you know, when you're a kid, I'm sure I bought my mum a box of Terry's All Gold for a birthday or something. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, I can't swear to it. My mum wouldn't be able to swear to it. But it seems, it feels like the kind of thing I would have done when I was like, you know, 10 or 11 or 12 or whatever, were not much money, but thought, oh yeah, a box of chocolates for my mum, she'd love that.
Yeah.
And it is that thing where you just go, it just that song evokes something in people. You're not even consciously aware of it, but you just think, it's just a warmth.
Yeah.
I think that's why so many, that's why, you know, God, 20 years now and people, you know, this week just get loads of stuff and people, you know, still love it to bits.
Yeah.
Just because of that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Yeah.
As well as it being dead funny.
Well, there is that as well.
I'm joking.
I mean, if it wasn't, it might not resonate as much. So it has to be dead funny.
But it is a mixture of that. It is mixture of being, you know, I think that is the thing, because you can have something like, which I'm not knocking at all because of, you know, it is a joke fest, but if you watch Not Going Out, I don't think it has the same affection that people have. There's something about Early Doors that people love dearly.
Yeah.
And have a real, you know, and you'll know that because when you see it live, it's palpable. You can feel it in the room. Yeah. You know, it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Hang on.
Right. So the next little bit is the aerobics girls. And as you said, aerobics being cancelled.
Yeah.
But they still come in, and it's the don't tell me husband is the only break I get from them. But instead of going to aerobics,
that's right, yeah.
Is having two bags of pork crackling. Pork scratchings, sorry.
Pork scratchings, yeah.
That's not allowed.
I know, yeah, exactly. Well, so, you might as well, aren't she? That's the thing about it. Well, it's just that, is that, you know, two bags of pork scratchings. Do you want a bag as well?
And you start to see that flirting with Ken and Tanya and Debbie.
Well, he's a genial landlord, isn't he? That's the thing. He's kind of, I think he's got an eye for, I don't think he sees it at this point in time.
No.
Until she has to make it sort of patently, because, you know, he's just thinking, well, she's out of my league, that, you know, they're out of my league, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Debbie has a really nice thing. Yeah. Lovely and clean.
Lovely and clean. Nice, isn't it? Lovely and clean. Yeah, lovely and clean. Like, that is a plus side. That's like something. That's a box that's ticked, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's quite high up on the list, really. You know, he shows that the list isn't that big for you to like a bloke. So, but clean, being clean, you know, it's like you don't find many of the clean ones, do you, around here? So, yeah, that's a big tick for Ken.
Yeah.
Lovely and clean.
Lovely and clean. But at that point, Phil and Nigel are back and they're talking about the big boys, Beano.
Mm-hmm.
And so they talk about some quite serious stuff. So like robberies and drug dealers, etc.
Yeah.
But they've never been so serious and so intense when they tell Ken that twin cheeks aren't real sisters.
Yeah. No, they just, wait a minute. It's like, it's almost like, it's almost like, you know, if somebody had an accident, they had to go and tell they had to knock on the door and tell somebody. It's like that, isn't it? It's like, this is what they've been trained to do.
Yeah.
But they don't. but the only thing they use it for is, we ever see it for, is when, wait a minute, Ken, wait a minute. They're not real. You know, it's like, you know, it's a solemn moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has to break it, sort of breaking it gently to Ken.
Yeah.
You know, Ken even gets that. Oh, you're joking, aren't you?
Don't tell this lot.
Don't tell this lot in here. Don't spoil the magic. Yeah.
But what adds
but
to
why,
it?
But again, you know, the fact that they've looked them up on the police computer. And do you think they're real sisters? And the fact that, you know, what are they doing? Those two fellas are just, what are they doing? They're just sat in a car, aren't they, going, you know, that Twin Cheeks that we saw a couple of years, do you think they're real? I don't know. Should we just check them out on the database?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you just, you know, the vision, the idea that they're just dicking about every day.
Just getting away with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they say that, but then Nige gets even more serious, goes, they're not even related.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, but it's all that training, all that money that's been spent on sympathy training and empathy training. It's about two girls who pretend to be sisters.
Yeah. I've got to break it so gently. Yeah, they're not sisters, you know. You're joking. Yeah. They're not even related. It's like, oh, man. You know, it's worse than them not being sisters. You know, I mean, if they were cousins or something, you know, you could get away with it, but they're not even related at all. Anyway, yeah, what can you do? Yeah.
And you have another story about the flasher, but what you hear there is Phil's laugh for the first time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That now is that a play on James Quinn's real laugh? Has he got a certain laugh that just has to embellish it?
Do you know the thing is about James is that we didn't, so we had the whole thing cast. And it was a different actor who was going to play Phil.
Right.
And he dropped, I don't know how to say this politely, but he wanted too much money. He wanted a load of money. I'm not going to tell you who it is, can't really. But anyway, so James came in literally, I think about a week before we started filming.
Mm-hmm.
It was as late as that. It's funny how things happen, isn't it? Because you can't imagine anybody else now.
No.
And he came in, and he was great, and he had that aura of, you know, he's quite intense, isn't he? Whereas Nige is more, you know, Peter White is Nige. He's got gravitas, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's got that authority. We're on the right day of it, Ken. You know, he's got that kind of, you know, and then you think, oh, yeah, he's a proper. But Phil is that. He's the one. If it's good cop, bad cop, you know that Phil's the bad cop, don't you? You know that Nigel, oh, look, if you tell me, but I can't keep him on the leash for long. You know, you know that Phil's the... So, and then the laugh was just him. We just heard him laughing. And it was like, oh, yeah, we love that. Love that. Give us, you know. And it, there's something about his laugh. I mean, it's infectious, isn't it? His laugh is infectious. And, there's nothing really, you know, we would hold for as long as we could, really, when they're all laughing in that room, because there's something joyful about it. You know, they're just having a rare old time of it, aren't they, in the back room?
You know? Yeah. Talking about comic getting raided, and they happen to be in Burger King. And the way Nige says Burger King makes me laugh every time.
Burger King. Yeah.
Having that down the milkshakes and then just clearing it out in the Black Mariah. Well, not the Black Mariah. They wish they had the Black Mariah.
Well, that's it. Was it? Did they put it in the? I can't remember. They tried to close the boot, didn't they? And just got the boot closed when the CID lads turned up.
The clean clothes, yeah.
But, you know, that's just... What's great about the cops, I think I've probably said this before, is that they are the most unrealistic, I guess, of all the characters in it. I mean, obviously none of them, you know, but you know, we can push the envelope with the cops, and we do, because you know the public, you know the people watching. I mean, it starts off small, and then, well, I'm not sure it does start off small, but you want to believe that's actually what they're doing. You don't really question it too much. You just think, oh yeah, they probably, yeah, that won't surprise me. And it won't surprise you, would it, that
no.
Cop turned up at burglary and loads of stuff's been, you know, a couple of things have been nicked, and we thought, well, you know what, we could do with a new toaster. I mean, it's completely inappropriate. I'm not suggesting that happens for 1 minute, but you can understand someone them thinking, oh well, it's being robbed anyway, so you know.
What's an extra
I haven't
toaster.
Got any Christmas presents yet. So yeah, I think that's why we get away with the cops, because I just think people want to go, bloody right, that's right. You know, you can imagine them doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, is that when they start talking about the generation game?
Yes, that's right, yeah. If you go to his house now, it looks like
the generation game.
Yeah.
And then they crack up laughing. Yeah.
So, two of the bits around that, so it kind of jumps to the back and jumps to the bar itself, is Eddie and Joe talking about the gammon, chicken, blah, etc. Tomato, a zigzag on a $4.99 a noble plate.
Yeah.
And then they're getting the comments about fat free this and fat free that. And
yeah.
Joan's granddad, who had like a ciggy in one hand and a beer in the other, and then died at 32.
Yeah.
Like, those conversations, is that. Someone have a really good meal somewhere and thought, oh, that's just funny how they've told that story?
Because it's because it's when you're. It's real. Again, it's like a real thing, isn't it? It's inane conversation that everybody sits around and has, and you don't even know you're doing it sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, they just sit around and saying, and all of a sudden, somehow it's got on to, you know, I'll tell you, Duru doing a really nice breakfast. You know what I mean? People just talk, don't they, about any old crap. And that's why I think it's related, because you see yourself, you know, and the fact that they're, and my mum and dad, and my uncle used to do it all the time, would just go through, you know, if they, you know, man would go out, you know, they start, well, we had, you know, a bit of bread roll, we brought the butter, but the butter was hard because they left it in the fridge or whatever it was. So Your dad had to hold the butter in his hand to melt it for a while, because we can't, because it tears your bread. You know, it's like those conversations that just go, you know, somebody take me now. And, you know, where's a gun when you need one? Mm-hmm. But like Eddie and Joel, you know, so it's that minutiae of, you know, and she misses something out, fried bread.
Yeah.
And it is that thing that's, I think, again, you know, again, that's why I think, you know, commission, you know, the sort of what we write is, it's hard for them to, you know, they just think, well, it's just people talking about how can this be funny.
Mm-hmm. But it is
tomato with a zigzag edge. Zigzag edge, yeah, tomato with a zigzag edge, you know, that's like the pierce the resistance of the whole thing.
Yeah,
no, fried bread, no, still though, $4.99, you know, it's one of that.
Just about to say that, and how Joan or Lorraine delivers that line. It's hard to explain without hearing her do it.
Yeah, still.
Yeah,
and I mean, like, I know, you know.
Picks her head back with a cigarette, like she's James Dean or something.
Yeah, still, $4.99. It's just that thing of, yeah, it's like, well, come on. It's like, you know, it's all there for you. Don't give me the, You know, the fried bread, yeah, but come on. What I've just told you there is probably the best breakfast you'll ever gonna, you know, if you go, it's gonna be the best breakfast you've ever had.
Yeah.
But you know, she, you know, it's that thing, isn't it, where, you know, and we're all hanging on every word.
Mm-hmm.
We're all sat there like, right, yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's just you know that you sat there with those people.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. Exactly. We know those conversations. Okay, so a couple of things I just want to mention really quick. Gene and Winnie gossiping about Mel's dad and the 40 pound in the birthday card.
Oh yeah.
Rather than 20.
Yeah. But it sort of starts here, doesn't it? The mention of her, your dad, yeah.
Just little bits. Like it was mentioned a little bit with the coppers last week. A little bit more. So, but it's different characters. So everyone knows.
Yeah.
Janice pops back in. I've got no money because I spent £20 on Calvin getting his ear pierced.
Yeah.
Pissy pants. No, oh, funny as well.
It's just like the old net. Everybody in town knows, don't they? It's just that thing that's travelled. Hey, she talked about us getting some Pampers.
That's right, yeah.
For you, pissy pants.
But it's quite...
It's hardly the height of, like, cerebral comedy, is it? But, you know, but it's not about that, isn't it? We try, you know, you watch comedy sometimes these days and think, oh, it's very good, it's very clever. Well... You know, I mean, I watched Inside Number 9, watched the other week, and it was the one where they had the game show and a head explodes at the end of it. Sorry, bit of a spoiler for anybody who's not seen it. And it's clever. I don't think I laughed out loud once, but I don't think it's meant to be. You know, it's more like Tales of the Unexpected, I think, isn't it? That? So I don't think that's the thing about, you know, it's a knee-jerk reaction, isn't it, a laugh? It's not something you kind of, you know, it's not a thoughtful thing. So, like, somebody just saying, John, get some pants for you, pissy pants. It's just funny. It's just, like, really kiddy. It's almost a childish thing to say, really, but...
Yeah. But the funny thing about that, actually, is you kind of forget that they were talking about the piss in the wardrobe. And it always just comes back. It's this nice little Easter egg. But mentioning it is that kid, Duffy's kid. But I used protection because I said I had the snip. It's a good line.
Yeah.
And then James McAvoy comes in. So what was I like working with Jay, a young James?
James great. Macron. He's great, honestly. I mean, you know, people ask me, and I think, you know, people, I guess, you know, really they want to hear probably, oh, he's a right fucking diva and he was this, that and the other and he was a real, just the loveliest lad, just great. I mean, right from the word go, I mean, we saw him and I think we had him down as Irish at first.
Right.
Hence the name Liam. He did an Irish accent and then we said, and they did an English accent and then he did his own accent. And we just said, well, they all sound great. So you can do it. And I've heard him on interviews since early doors saying it's the best like telly job that he ever worked on.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is to do with, well, we had a great cast and everyone got on and, you know, genuinely they did. But as well, we were kind of, he said, well, I'd love to do it in my own accent. And we were saying, well, okay. Yeah, why not? There's no, you know, reason why, because you can't be, you know, from Glasgow. So, yeah.
And I think he loved that. He could be from anywhere.
Yeah. And I think he loved the fact that, and I know that his folks really liked Early Doors and liked hearing him speaking in his native tongue, if that's what you want to put it. So yeah, she was just a joy to work with. Just great, part of the gang. My favourite memory is with him is there used to be a pub called the Press Club, which used to be open till late in Manchester. It's not there anymore. So we'd go there and they'd have karaoke till God knows what time in the morning. So me and him, I remember being on stage singing Dignity by Deacon Blue.
All right.
And I think either he or I fell off the stage. So, but which completely the paradox is talk about dignity and then being like an upturned turtle on the dance, sticking to the dance floor. Just great. No airs and graces to him. Happy to do anything. Really great, really great lad. Yeah, and a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
You could see, you know, camera loves him, James. He's just got a great look. And he's just great. Yeah, I can't speak highly enough of him, really.
Was the winking his idea? Because he winks loads, like he's like being one of the lads, just winking to him.
Yeah, no, that's his idea. I think he just like, you know, he's trying to endear himself. He knows he's trying to endear himself to Ken.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks that by endearing himself to us, it's Organ and Ken, which gets him in trouble eventually, is the way to do it. So he kind of, you know, he's like, all right, lads, you know, he just wants to be. I mean, he is an outsider.
Yeah.
So he is trying to endear himself really to everybody because, you know, Mel's lived here, hasn't she, all her life and known these people.
Yeah.
All her life, probably,
mm-hmm.
you know, unfortunately for her. So, you know, I think that's part of it. But, yeah, very good. And they were great together, you know. Christine's fabulous. And they really suited it. And they had a great chemistry between them. You know, I think they knew each other from drama school, I think. But, yeah. Right.
You often see it on Instagram. They tag each other in posts and stuff. Which is quite sweet. Yeah.
Oh, do they? Yeah. I don't do that stuff. Yeah. They probably just think, I'm too aloof for all that.
But you've learned quite a lot about Liam quite quickly. So, obviously, Scottish. He's a student.
Yeah.
He drinks Bud, which is different. It's a bottle.
Yeah.
It's just a bit more, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess it's student-y, as in... what you do in the city, you drink bottles.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a bit more, I don't know, it's a bit more like the young folk might do, I guess, to us.
It's a bud. Calls a bud.
Yeah. I'll have a bud. I think it just sort of signifies straight away that, oh, well, okay, this is a different... Again, it's different layers, isn't it? And they're there's a different strata going on with that. Mm-hmm. Than anybody, you know, I mean, he tries to dip his toe in the water a little bit and stuff. And we're happy because we kind of like, you know, we like him, I think.
Yeah.
Because we can impart our knowledge, our vast, great knowledge onto him.
Oh, I'm just about to get that, actually, as you mentioned. But this, all of the bar sing Puppy Love to them. And I guess that's kind of him getting... Like if you get the piss taken out of you, you kind of indoctrinated.
It's a seal of approval, isn't it?
Seal of approval, that's it, yeah.
You know.
And Eddie with his lighter out.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that's just classic Eddie.
Yeah.
But you, in passing your knowledge, actually, before I do that, when they see him in the toilet and they're just like, nudging each other going, bloody hell.
Yeah, look at that, the jammy get.
And Mel says to her dad, I'll see you right when I get me glasses.
Yeah.
That's another one of those lines. Is that just something that you heard around people say?
Yeah. Don't even know where. Yeah, you know, some of these things you just sort of grow up hearing somebody say, and I'm sure that's one that, I'll see you right when I get me glasses. Don't know. I mean, there's a line in the Royal Family. It's like the underpants line that everyone quotes. Like, these underpants cost me £4 and I've got 10 Bosworth stuck up my ass. Well, that is an old... That's a kind of... I mean, when we did the live show, I remember we used to get a really big belly laugh from... I can't remember who they're talking about. They said, oh, yeah, I've seen how bandy he is. He couldn't stop a pig in an entry, that fella, could he? Now, that, if you said that to people around in Manchester, it's not like, you know, it's a bit of a, it's kind of, most people know that. Mm-hmm. When we were on tour, that would get a massive laugh. And people like, and it's like, well, you know, that's just a sort of, it's funny because you hear it yourself. There'll be colloquialisms up, you know, where you are, you know, up in the Northeast, that you say, and you just sort of take it for granted because you've heard them, you know, you don't know where they come from, but you've heard them all your life. But that are actually really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's three bits, but two are linked. Passing on your knowledge, you and Craig, you kind of, and people won't see this, but you've got your cards and you kind of hunched over when Ken's going through the big boys being at Liam.
Yeah.
And you're like two naughty school kids.
Yeah.
That just you and Craig?
I think so. And I also think, that was one of those things that was like a happy accident, really. Because, like in pubs, or pubs that are a bit run down, all the stools are sort of different sizes. And you know what I mean? You can be sat on a, like we're on the bench there, low down, Ken sat on a stool high up. Mm-hmm. So it felt funny. Mm-hmm. So I don't even think we had a discussion about it, but I know that, which I wouldn't have to do with Craig because I've known him, you know, we know each other that well.
Yeah.
And I think we just started sort of playing it a bit like, you know, like we were like playing against the school. Not school, but you know the
lads from the year above.
Yeah, like the best poker player in town, and we're just sort of like bloody hell, you know, we're not quite sure we're in, you know, but yeah, I don't know. There's something about that. It, you know, because we're sat low down and he's high up, I guess, just lent itself to us playing it like that. I know we're looking up, aren't we?
Yeah, you are. Yeah,
the cards. And it really works for the really payoff, works. I think, at the end.
Yeah, and Liam again trying to get into your two good books by like looking at Ken's card.
Cards.
Yeah. But it's quite funny as well. It's when they're talking about it, and Liam's like, well, yeah, I will, but mum's the word. That resonates. When do you tell your wife or significant other when you're going to do something?
It's
like, either they're going to have to look after the kids. It's like a pass out. You need a pass out for something, basically.
Yeah.
Don't say it straight away. Well, that actually is the best time to do it. Just do it. Say it straight away. Oh, they're talking about this. Can I do it? And then...
And the best thing is the overthinking and the over, you know, of the kind of the plan, the subterfuge of how to do this in the best way, you know, and it's... And it's like, rather than just say, listen, everyone's going on a thingy, you know, and I've asked me to go and it'd be all lads together and it'd be a bit of fun. You don't mind, do you? No, you're all right. Okay, thanks. But no, he's, you know, the lads have to give it. Oh, no. You know, this is what you've got to do, right? You know, you can't just be, you know, well, for God's sake, don't tell her the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to make it out. Yeah. You know, because you know that they've been doing that all the lives. You know, they've been giving it all, look. I'm not really interested. Oh, Joe's saying he won't go if I don't go. I mean, it's not my thing. You know, it's all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you do, make out you're not that keen and it's not your idea, but, you know, you don't want to let people down, you know.
Yeah.
And by virtue of the fact, if I let them down, you've sort of let them down, really, haven't you? So it's that mind, it's that overthinking, isn't it?
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So two more things.
And, you know, I won't mind, but, well, you know, everyone sees through it anyway.
Yeah, without a doubt. Okay, so it would be very remiss if I didn't mention that Winnie just dropping in about, like, talking about Mel and Liam and how it's like, oh, it's true love, etc.
Yeah.
And how she felt that about her husband in the line of going out with your sister at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Classic. Oh, that'll pop up on the early doors clips. Regularly, it just makes people laugh.
Oh,
and then the healer comes back out.
Yeah, Well, it's just, it's great when, you know, that you can pull the rug from underneath somebody so effectively. Like, you know, she's Roma. Oh, you never forget. Remember again, the first time you meet the man that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, you know, she's this elaborate romantic story. And then Winnie just like proper kicks the box from underneath it, doesn't she? You know, he's going to have your sister at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah. And that's why I think people love their relationship.
Oh, yeah. Because they can't wait, you know. Yeah. They look, you know. And it's just said, and again, there's no drama to it. You've gone out with your sister at the time, wasn't she? And off she goes. And it's just like, she knows what she's done.
Yeah.
And she just, and it's just like, you know, she's like, put the bomb and just goes off before it, you know, wait for it to explode.
Yeah.
They were great at that. I mean, Joan, well, and Rita, though, she's really good at that. You know, the timing of when to say a line like that. Just really, it's just, they're fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah, really great.
And then, obviously, you're giving advice to Liam and Ken, and you has given advice to Joe to get out the box room with a Bacardi Breezer.
Yeah.
So the last thing, Joe gets you a pint and gets Bacardi Breezer, the Bacardi Breezers, and Mel goes, who's drinking that?
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's just Craig laughing at the joke or he's just lost himself a little bit. But did you know that was going to be next in the script? It's almost like he was keeping it from you, like the way it plays. Or is it just maybe just Craig's laughing?
In what way do you mean? I don't know. I mean, it was, you know, it's there in the script kind of thing.
Yeah.
Who's drinking Bacardi? No, I mean, the whole thing was. But I think... Craig's a bugger, really, but he does find things very, you know, he's renowned in the royal family and in this, you know, if you look at the outtakes, he just, you know, sometimes just loses it. And I think that's one of the moments where we got away with it because he has been rumbled. So, Bacardi Breezer, who's thinking Bacardi gets away, you know, and it's all that kind of thing.
Cut. Yeah.
Yeah, cut to. And again, it's just that thing where, you know, everybody can relate to it. You know yourself when you know, if your mates have caught you out something, doing something, you know, it's all that, isn't it? You know? And I think that's the thing. You know, he's like, I'm not, you know, it's all, again, it's that thing of him, you know, braving it out. Well, no, I'm not, sir. I'm just, you know, I'm not going to do that. You know, you might do that, but not me. And then he's going to, and 2 points of God. It's got to be worth a try.
Yeah. It's worth £3 for two bottles, what it was.
Again, when you think about, you know, sitcom, it's hardly the biggest, you know, it's not like Everyone Loves Raymond where everything sorts everything out. It's just a line, isn't it? And we're off. You know,
but it all just leaves.
But it all comes together. I mean, it's all, you know, we start off that he's in trouble and at the end of it, it ties itself up. But it's always done a kind of, in a, I guess, an underplayed, you know, rather than it being big and, you know, over the top, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, on that note.
On that bombshell.
No names, but when I was in one of the kids, dropping the kids off at school queue, essentially, he was doing the same thing. The bloke was in the bad books for doing something. I still to this day don't know what it was. And his mate was going, what are you going to do? Oh, I'll just get a couple of bottles of wine. We'll have a barbecue. We'll be fine. Don't worry about it. I was like, what has he done? And it wasn't pissing in the air in the cupboard. It was definitely worse, but I don't know what it was.
My mate's dad used to do the same thing. He would get, he would always take his missus a packet of crisps back. And he'd make this big virtue thing. Hey, these crisps, I'm taking these crisps back for my wife. These, lads, these, my wife, he said one time, these are my wife. And one of the lads said, oh, they look like salt and vinegar to me. And he went, he wasn't. these are for my wife. It was really like, well, he's like, he's doing some great thing, you know?
Yeah.
I can get, you know, and then if he got really bladdered, he'd get a bottle of stout or something to go with it, or, you know, it's like, you know, this is enough. This is a magnificent gesture.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
Great.
All based in truth. Not my truth, you'll know. Not my truth, of course.
Someone else's.
Yeah.
But on that bombshell.
Yes.
Thank you very much for listening.
Brilliant.
Catch us on Instagram and Twitter at Early Door Pod for both, or earlydoorspod@gmail.com if you want to get in touch. Like, subscribe, tell your friends, give a rating, give a review. All that sort of stuff helps. We know there's plenty of people out there that love Early Doors, so hopefully more people will hear it.
Yeah, great.
If people do that sort of thing. So thanks very much, Phil, and I'll see you soon.
Nice one, Ben. Have a good weekend, pal.
You too.
Enjoy the gig.
Thank you.
Nice one.
Next week, you can hear me, James Quinn, to the regiment.
When we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.